which point you'll likely succumb to dehydration. 3 to 5 days, you could be lost at sea. What are the most important hours when somebody goes lost? We've probably seen the TV show, I think there's a title for this, but how many hours, do they say, are the most vital hours from the point of somebody being lost to being found? Anybody? First? 48. Yep, 48 hours. And they say after that 48 hours, that time frame to finding that person just decreases and decreases. So it's vital that we find and seek within that 48 hours. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." To seek and save us. Seek and save the lost. So I'm thinking about a fishing rod, right? You go fishing, you go out to the lake, and sometimes you may not even know you're lost until Father starts to reel you back in, right? So you're going out to the lake, and you're hoping you're going to catch something, and there's this image of, you know, Father God, and he's kind of at that lake, and he sees the fish, his fish just kind of swimming around, and he's casting out that rod, and that bait on the end of that rod is the Holy Spirit to grab onto. The Holy Spirit starts tugging at our hearts. The Word of God starts to come alive, and you've been captured by his love for you. He wants to capture our love. He wants to draw us close. He wants to reel us in, even when we're feeling lost, even when we're feeling hopeless, even in the times when we don't see an exit ramp, or we don't see God opening that door, right? In our case, we don't see any movement with these kids, but we know that God's heart and God's power is so much bigger that we can rely on him and not our own understanding, because it's in his timing. I've been dealing with my leg issue for the majority of the year, and I came in today, I went out searching for something this morning, walking around my neighborhood. I'll get to tell you what I was searching for. And I was getting some sharp pain in my knee, and I've been trying to work on my leg and getting power back in it and getting my muscle grown and that sort of thing. And I came to the church this morning, and like, I'm not really feeling any of that pain as soon as I walked in. And I'm like, oh my God, my God, thank you. And I was able to stand and worship. God is powerful. God is going to pull us close to him, right? And I still continue to wonder why wasn't I just healed like immediately? You know, I had several people praying for me. And God kind of told me, like, it's sometimes it's part of the process. Sometimes it's part of the process. And he never tells us that it's going to be like an easygoing process, but he's still going to call us close to him. He's still going to lead us through that process no matter what. So today, would we even still be able to read a map, or would we have to rely on our GPS to get to where we're going if we're lost? So the question this morning is, what or whom are you relying on to get you to your destination in life? What or who are you relying on? Are you relying on that piece of technology, or are you relying on him who created the technology? Take it from me, I'm in IT. I know what it's like to rely on technology. It's going to break. It's going to fail. But we serve somebody who does not fail, who does not break under pressure, does not break when the power goes out, when there's no water, when there's no heat. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. Amen? Amen. Are you relying on your own abilities and your own will, or are you shifting your mindset to the heavens and allowing God to make the waves? When you're in the midst of your situation, how do you find your bearings? Have the feeling of drowning? Stupid computer. Technology. Have the feeling of drowning without the life jacket. We've all had that feeling. You're trying to claw back out of your situation. And God's whispering, I'm still here with you. I haven't left you. Oftentimes, it sure feels like we're left alone. Left alone, drowning, clawing back out of the pit that we put ourselves in, or maybe we fell into that pit. I'm still here. I'm still that life jacket. I haven't left you. Don't lose heart. Father is searching for you. He's searching for you. So now I'm going to tell you what happened, okay? So Thanksgiving, the day of thanks. One of my children decided to leave the back door open. And this has happened before where the garage door was open and our two cats get a little curious, as house cats are, and they scurry outside, and then I run outside and I'm like, get back in the house, what are you doing? And they come scurrying back in like, oh, dad's yelling at me, you know. But this time was different. This time we're all just kind of in the living room, and somebody, Becky comes over and is like, somebody left the door open again. The cats are outside. So we go wandering outside, and I find Leo, my smart cat. I say smart because when I call him, he comes. When I tell him to get down, he gets down. So as smart as a cat could be. The other cat, he's dummy. He doesn't come when I call, sometimes for treats and that sort of thing, but he's not a very smart cat. And so we found Leo. Oliver we did not find, right? The not-so-smart cat. And so, you know, like any good cat parent, we told the kids to get outside and look for the felines, get out ourselves, start walking around the house in the dark with a flashlight, searching. If you've ever lost an animal, it can be kind of traumatic because, you know, they're your animal, whether they're smart or dumb, they're still a part of you. And so one of the boys made a little lost cat picture, and I don't know, if this might have been Lucas, and Aiden or Zane was teasing him, saying, those don't look like cat ears. He looks like a bear or something like that. Like, nobody's going to know. I'm like, no. It says lost cat. Nobody's going to be confused about it. So they made some of these signs, and we wandered around, and we kept looking and looking and mentioning the cat treats and stuff like that. And it started to get cold out and dark, and we're just not finding him. And so next day comes and goes, and it's cold at night now, and the days have been, you know, pretty warm for the most part. We thought, maybe he'll come wandering back. Is he smart enough to do that? No, not really. And how often are we not smart enough to wander back to the Father? Right? Like, he's out there, and he's putting out the treats, he's throwing the rod, he's trying to get us back home, and we're just not smart enough to figure that out. But his love is so tender and so sweet that he doesn't stop, right? He puts on the winter jacket, he puts on the shoes, he goes out no matter what, he sends people our way, he sends mothers and fathers and cousins and brothers and sisters, people on our path to bring us back to him. He provides, you know, times at church with our church family. He provides time with our friends, those who encourage us to bring us back home. How are we to respond to that? That's his desire, is that closeness, to bring us back, right? Family forever. Semya navsegda. I didn't put that in my message. I don't know. It just kind of came to me. So a few of the parables, we've heard them so many times, but they're so good because they're so applicable, right? So the first one is, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's out of Luke 15, verse 15, parable of the lost sheep, right? So there's three parables. Let me make sure I didn't jump, because sometimes I do know they go kind of like in a line. Yeah, it does start with this one. Parable of the lost sheep, so it's verse 15. Yes, sorry, did I say verse? Yeah, 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. What's interesting in this example is that the shepherd doesn't appear to be angry at the sheep for wandering off. He's not angry. He doesn't scold the sheep. He doesn't kick the sheep, right? It could say that he was furious. Why would he leave? You dumb sheep. Why would you leave your family, the group that you're with? You're going to get lost. You're going to be cold. You're going to be hungry. Why would you do that? What does it say in the parable? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. We may stray from the path the Lord has set for us, but he is ever watchful for our return. Ever watchful for our return. He always beckons us back to his side. He will always joyfully bring us closer to him and bring us home to him. Our Heavenly Father's love for you doesn't stop at the end of the hour. Thank God it does not. Right? Oh, well, I tried. I tried for an hour to bring you back to me, but I guess I'm just going to sit back and just give up on you. His love doesn't give up on us. And knowing that brings us so close to him, right? So our Heavenly Father's love for you doesn't stop at the end of the hour. His love is everlasting. It's a long, long time. No matter how lost you may feel, no matter the alternate directions you have taken in the past, God is still there, right? So there's a funny video clip that kind of came to mind from my childhood. I'm a child of the 90s. And Andrew, if you want to play it, many of you will recognize this clip and the quote from probably your days, probably your days if you had kids that were my age, because it's from an old Disney classic. If you get it to work. All right, while you're trying to get that, Jeremiah 31:3 talks about God's everlasting love. They're not allowing this truth of God's love to break through into their life. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." So he's saying, "I have drawn you with loving kindness. I'm not kicking you. I'm not poking you. I'm not throwing shade at you. I'm not..." Oh, is it good? Maybe? It's thinking.
"I know what I have to
there.
Do.
Okay, we'll go with the audio.
Going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter! It's in the past!
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick. So it doesn't matter. It's in the past, right? You can either, what does it say? You can either run from it or learn from it. Run from it or learn from it. And a lot of times we get into that mode of like, "Woe is me. I can't come back to the Father. Look at what I've done. I did this when I was 16. I did this when I was 21. I did this to this person when I was 30. How can I go back and ask for repentance and even come close to being with the Father again? I've done all this stuff before." And he's saying, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's in the past. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He did what on the cross for us? Died for us. For our sins. We have life. No matter what has happened, it's in the past. He will find us. The parable of the lost coin says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Have you ever lost money in the couch? That happens like daily in our house. Oh, why my dollar, my quarter, I don't know where it went. Is it in the couch? Did you look at the couch? Did your brother take it? It's lost, isn't it? Is it in your wallet? Where's your wallet? Did you put your wallet back? Every day. Every day. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me! I found my lost coin." Now, I'm not gonna call you up and, "Guess what? I found my quarter." I'm not gonna do that. But do you understand what's going on, right? "Rejoice with me! I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God for one sinner who repents and comes back to the Father. Right? The lost coin, the lost sheep. Your salvation is important to heaven. The woman lit a lamp, swept the house, searched carefully until she located exactly what she needed to find. Father God will move the heavens for us to be a part of his family. Wouldn't you do the same for your own kids? Kids are funny. Kids are funny because in some moments, they're destroying your house. I have three. There's going to be more. The house will be destroyed. What will be my response, right? Have you ever had those moments where young kids will come up and you think that they're about to do something malicious, right? And come to find out, they just want to get on the couch and like snuggle and tell you about some silly situation that they are in, right? Right? But you are ready to flip the handle. I'm so guilty of that. Come on. I'm being honest with you. I am so guilty of that. And, you know, that's just something that I have to kind of deal with and ask God's grace for. But God isn't like that. God doesn't flip the handle on us. God is tender, loving kindness, everlasting. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then he squandered his wealth amid wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. He began to be in need, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating." That's desperate. "But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he's feeling shame. "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Quite the response, right? "The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother's come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out, pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when This son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home. You kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. As humans, we start to develop this false mindset that we have done something to offend God. Put God into a bad mood with us. Thinking that we aren't worthy to come back crawling to him. Is it shame? More than likely. Let's look back at what the son thought. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And what was the father's reaction? Was it scolding him? Complaining to him? Pushing guilt on him? Rejecting him? How often do we exhibit these reactions and not provide love? Are we being real about this? So what were the father's reactions? This brother of yours was dead. He's alive again. He's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Your heavenly father wants closest, no matter the past circumstances. Amen? No matter the past circumstances. We are his kids. A powerful truth this morning. Even in times of loss, we've all experienced loss in some facet. God can be found. God can be found. He reminds us that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, I remember when I had gotten hurt that I had those feelings of like, but where are you, God? Like, why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this way? Why this? Why that? You know, for anybody that's ever had an injury, you know, where are you in this? You know, what's the reasoning behind that? And I remember feeling him say, I'm here. Still here. I'm like, well, why aren't you doing something? But God has his own timing for everything. He has a reason for everything that we go through. A reason, what is it? A reason for the season, they say, right? He doesn't promise that the seasons are going to be easy. Hey, you're a Christian now, so now you're going to be all powerful and nothing will hurt you. Nothing will cause you to be sad or nothing traumatic will happen to you. You know, we don't live in a Hallmark movie. Who likes Hallmark movies? They make you feel pretty good. We watched one last night. The endings are always wonderful. But it's that process that they always go through. They always go through this, you know, this guy, he's miserable. He lives alone. I'm kind of going through the movie I saw last night. And here's, you know, like this other girl, and she's like into like all this stuff and Christmas and all this stuff, and she's engaged, and like they start getting close, and then something traumatic happens, and then they fall apart, and then what happens at the end of the movie? They end up together, and everything's happy, and that sort of thing. Everybody lives that life, right? No. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Never leaves you. That's a great feeling knowing that he doesn't leave us. You may feel that he's left, but sometimes we have to grab a hold of the word of God, right? And sometimes we have to repeat it over and over and over. So as Becky and I are learning Russian, I found that I have to repeat the same things over and over and over, the words, for anybody that's ever learned a foreign language. You have to repeat it over and over. Sometimes you have to see it, right? The Word of God. We have a visual in our Bible, whether it be paper or app. You know, we hear it, so we proclaim it, we speak it from our mouths, and then we communicate it back and forth with one another, right? And that's how we communicate. I'm doing it right now with you. I'm saying something. You're responding with a head nod. No booze, luckily. But that's how we communicate. And so, so he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Just, right? There's nothing after that. It's not like, hey, you know, it's okay. It'll happen. It's do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He reminds us that He was right there when you were lost. Right there when you were alone. Right there when all hope seemed lost. And right there when your laptop doesn't want to do what you want it to do. There's a video clip that I also want to kind of end my message with. And has anybody heard of Toby Mac? Toby Mac, he was popular in the 2000s, early 2000s, maybe? I mean, he's probably still popular. I haven't heard, you know, some of his music lately, but he was you know, he was part of, was it DC Talk? I'm right on that one? Score. Going back in the 80s, okay. So 80s into the 90s, and then still into today. So Toby Mac, right? So he had a son. Sad. I said had. He had a son that he had lost. His son was 21, and this was back in 2019, of an overdose, right? I think it was fentanyl. A battle that he wasn't aware that his son was fighting in the shadows. So it wasn't a public battle that he was aware of. He was an up-and-coming musical artist trying to follow in his dad's footsteps. So here's a little bit of his conversation on how he kind of processed the loss of his son, and how faithful God was, towards him through the process.
Grief comes in waves. Some days it hits you really hard, and other days it's, I can't say it's ever stayed off of me, but I can say that it's just given me, it hasn't beat me up some days, let's put it like that. So it comes in waves, and you know, the truth is I didn't know grief really. I just felt like everything was beautiful and perfect until the last few years. And then when I lost Truett, or when we lost Truett, everything changed, and I met grief in the fiercest way. I met a guy in Austin, Texas, and he lost his son. And it was before I lost Truett. I actually was playing Austin, and he was a guy I had never met that said I could come play his golf course with him. When I went and played with him, he told me he lost his son, and he told me all about it, car accident. It was really interesting. He told me a few things that were like preparing me, kind of. And I'm not trying to overthink this thing, but you know, he told me that when you go through something hard and you have to grab onto something you can trust. And his thing was grab onto a promise of God. This he told me after, because he called me. He said, you're going to want to grab onto a promise of God. And he goes, but just make sure you grab onto something God really promised us. Because when we're in the darkest valley, we might grab onto something that God never promised us at all. He said, make sure, you know, God, you might grab onto something like, I shouldn't be facing loss, or God's good and this shouldn't happen to me on earth. But he said, that's not promises of God. God didn't promise us we wouldn't face loss. He goes, God promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. That's what he promised us. So God doesn't always take away the cold. He promises that he'll be right there in it with us. That's what I held on to. And I found him there, or he found me there. I think I started to learn to laugh, even in the first week a little bit, but not laugh as deeply. You know, I don't know if I'll ever laugh as deeply. I don't know if I'll ever smile as big. But I can smile. and I can't laugh. I don't know if it'll ever be until eternity, if it will ever be fully. I don't think I spoke about eternity before, but I never really thought about it deeply, because I didn't need to. You know, I always trusted God. I always walked with God. It's not a question of that, but it was like that to deeply think about it. But now I do, because I imagine the ones I love that we've lost there. And I always have the same kind of picture. And it's, I don't know if I can do this without crying, but it's, Dad, if you could only see what I see right now. And it's not necessarily what heaven looks like, it's how this thing all works. Like, how, I don't know, I'm reluctant to say some things, but how leaving this earth early isn't necessarily a ripoff. Like, it's, no, you don't understand yet, Dad. You don't get it. You don't get it at all. That's what I see in here. You know, it's, as I said, people grieve differently. And I think, you know, we've done a lot of things. I think there's a lot of beauty in counseling. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a gift if you can do it. I also think that community is, to me, the most important thing. I mean, to have loved ones surround you in your darkest moment, and just love you, just be with you. And then even the distant, you know, the people that are a little more distant, the people that have listened to my music, the way I was prayed for, the way my family was prayed for, the way people loved us through social media posts. We felt surrounded by love through the deepest, darkest, hardest thing we've ever experienced. And to me, that's what the body of Christ should look like. So through what I've experienced and the grief I've experienced and what I've walked through, the raging storm, the deepest valley, I just feel like I didn't know God stayed close in those times, but I've learned that He does. I really have.
Sorry. I just felt like that was such a powerful message by Toby Mac, and some of the things that he said are things that I felt like kind of went hand in hand with lost, becoming lost, the Father's love, God's promises for us. So Toby had said God promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us, and we read about that. He also said God doesn't always take away the cold. But He also said it's time to grab onto a promise from God. Right? Grabbing onto a promise from God. And so I thought this morning would be a good time for us to reflect on a promise, right? A pure promise that He's given us. In those times of in the closet with the Lord, I call it, right? When you're on your knees, it's just you and Him. And He's given you, He dropped like a nugget for you, right? A promise for you. Something that you found in the Word. Something that He's whispered to you. Something that maybe you heard Him say, but you kind of just put it on the back burner. You just kind of put it in your pocket and thought about it and thought, maybe someday. Maybe someday this will happen, right? I'll share what promise he gave to me. And it was praying for the kids, right? And he just gave me the one word, preparation, right? Preparation. And I'm like, preparation, I don't want to wait for preparation. I don't want to do the preparation, right? But I'm holding on to that word, that simple word that's preparation. And thinking about what does that mean for my life? What does that mean for my family's life? What does that mean for the kids? Does it mean preparation in terms of things that are happening there, things that are happening in our life, things at home, things in the financial realm, the family realm? It's not clear, and sometimes it's not clear to us, but he gives us that one promise, and if we just grab onto it, hold onto it, we're going to see it through from point A to point B. We're not going to need that Garmin. We're not going to have to rely on that piece of technology. All we have to do is rely on what he says in his word to us, and is that he doesn't leave us, he doesn't forsake us, that he is fullness, and he will bring those promises to fullness. So think with me right now, and if you don't have anything, that's okay. Think of something that you're really strongly believing the Lord for, and let's just grab it with our fists, with our hands together. And we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to bring that to pass, to bring the steps, put the steps before us. Have you ever heard of the floor is lava, right? And the kids do this downstairs, and there's little pieces of carpet, and you're just kind of stepping from piece to piece, trying not to fall off into the lava. Well, we're going to grab a hold of those promises, and we're going to try not to waver from them and fall off those steps. And sometimes it's not going to be an easy process for those promises to come through, but we still have to take those steps without falling into the lava. Amen? Make sense? Okay. So, Father, we just come together right now, Lord, as a body, as family, Semya Navsegda, family forever. And we believe, Lord, the things that you've told us. We believe the promises that you've given us. Lord, we understand that everything is in your timing, Lord. And your timing seems to be not our timing. It rarely ever is, Lord. But we believe, Lord, that you have the right steps in front of us. And sometimes it just takes faith to step out to those steps. It could be a step of new employment. It could be a step of new relationships, travel, things that you've put into our heads during our quiet time with you when we've been communicating with you and reading your word and just in full relationship with you, Lord. And so we just pray for those things right now, Father God, that we're grasping and holding on to, just like Toby Mack had said, Lord. Father, he lost his son, who's with you currently right now, Father. But he was told to, in those times of sadness, in those times of loss, in those times of being alone, to grab onto something that he can hold on to, such as a promise from you. Not something that we're just making up, Father, but something that you've given us. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you, Father God, would get the glory, that you, Lord, would shine through from point A to B in that process. Not relying on ourselves, but relying on you, Father. And we believe you're moving, and you are a moving God. You are a moving, moving Father. You don't stay still. You are constantly moving. You never stop working. Just like that song, never stop working. Even when we don't see it, you're moving. Even when we don't feel it, you're moving. And so we just ask that you would move on our behalf for these things that we're believing for in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you very much, Pastor Steve.